A good morning to each one here and a welcome to share together in the celebration of Jesus and the surrender of our life. As we were singing, I hope those songs were songs of personal testimony because they go very deep and they search our hearts. Search me, O God. Oh, how I love Jesus. I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I'm sure there's various emotions and expressions and inner feelings of where we're at in our walk with God this morning. But hopefully today we'll grow closer and be challenged more fully. I have several questions I'd like to ask just to pick our minds a bit, pique our minds. What is the motivation of your life? What blueprint do you live your life by? What determines the choices that you make? Are you a person of the times, or are you a person for the times? Well, there's numerous driving factors of why and how people choose to live and to make their decisions. Some are for the applause of men. And some are for the applause of heaven. In our adult Sunday school study, it's about Abraham and his choices and how that affected his life. For every choice we make affects some of the rest of our life. Every single choice affects some of the rest of our life. Think about Abraham's impact on the world, his world, and even today's world. What was the motivation of his life? What blueprint did he live by? What determined the choices he made? Did he see himself as a person of the times, or a person for the times in which he lived? 10 days ago, you know, the world lost an amazing innovator, an incredible mind, and a great marketing giant in Steve Jobs. He's a man who changed the world in so many ways. You know, before Steve Jobs, there were mice, but there was no mouse. He created the mouse. Before Steve Jobs, there was no different fonts, except if you did it with a pen. He made fonts something on computers. Before that was all typesets, typewriters, just that's all you could do. Many of us don't think about those things. His life is a very fascinating life. Steve Jobs was an adopted son. The child of a single college girl and a Syrian college student. They put him up for adoption. He was adopted into a family where his mother had dropped out of college and his father never finished high school. And so Steve Jobs at 21, he drops out of college and he founded Apple Computers along with his friend Steve Wozniak at the age of 21 in 1976. It's not very long ago. Many of us here, over half of us, were living then. In 1997, just a year later, Steve introduced the Apple I computer, the first computer they had. They sold it for $660.66 a piece. It was an amazing accomplishment for that time. That project netted them $750,000. It wasn't a very big hit in the world. But 2 years later, in 1979, did I say 99? I said in 1979 he introduced the Mac 1. In 1979, or in 77 he introduced Apple 1. In 79, Apple 2. Apple 2 went over big. And that product, instead of $750,000, it netted them $139 million that year. And then by 1980, Steve took the company public, and they traded publicly in the shares. The first day it opened, just four years after they launched their company in a garage, the first day of opening, it traded, and its value was $1.2 billion. It doubled its shares from the time it opened. Because Steve had, people understood the impact of what this could do. Well, the company grew very rapidly, and in 1980, Steve hires the director of Pepsi-Cola to be his president of the company, and he becomes company president. But they find themselves in conflict over the next several years, and 3 years later, the company that Steve Jobs founded, he was forced out of the company by the president that he hired. And so he was left without a job. But he goes on to found some other companies, one of them the Pixar Studio Company, which, you know, they did the movies that most of us here have seen, some of them anyway, like Toy Story and Finding Nemo and The Incredibles. Those are films that he did in that company. And over the next couple of years, netted him $4 billion because he was forced out of one company and opened another one. I have a point I'm getting to in this whole thing, so. Well, Apple Company, because Steve wasn't there, went downhill, and they began losing money. Huge, went almost into bankruptcy, and so they decide they need Steve back, so they hire him back and buy out his company, Pixar, for almost $500 million, and he comes back, but he has one requirement, that he can set his own salary. If he comes back to Apple, he needs to be able to set his own salary. And he set his salary at an incredible annual salary of $1. $1 he set his salary at. That's where it was in the years that he was there. Well, he goes on, and you know, he's changed our world, and for all you young folks out there, it's the reason we have iPods, it's the reason we have iPhones, it's the reason we have MacBooks, it's the reason we have iTunes and iPads. He's changed our world. He went on to found the second largest corporation in the world today, as far as value, next to Exxon. He's the Apple company is the second largest in the world. It's a company that operates debt-free. Its shares began to trade over $200 a share. In 07, the company experienced a net profit of $1.6 billion, and they had $18 billion in their bank account. Today, they have over $80 billion in their bank accounts of Access Cash. It's a company that has an incredible history. Why do I say all this about Steve Jobs? I'm talking about thinking about Abraham, thinking about impact, thinking about what counts in life. What is your motivation for living? What blueprint do you live by? What helps make the choices? What determines the choices that we make? Are we a person of our times, or are you a person for your time? Do you see yourself as a person that God has put here with a purpose and a reason, and you're going to fulfill that. As far as we know, Steve Jobs was not a Christian. He was actually a Buddhist and a person who followed Hare Krishna. So what is success? How do you determine success? I want you to think about that question, because for 6 days of our week, we focus on studies in school, we study on work, we focus on responsibilities and duties that take a lot of our time and focus. And my question is, what is our motivation for living? And I'm so glad that we have one day of the week that the Lord has asked us to come apart and to refocus and to really look at the things, what really matters, what counts in life. When it's all over and our bodies return to the dust, what has been our motivation for living will determine our eternal destination. I think success means to have the applause of heaven on our life, and to hear the Lord say someday, "Well done, good and faithful one. Come on in to my presence and live forever with me." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning grateful for the provision in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the incredible minds you've given us and the amazing creation each of us are. I thank you for the plan and the purpose that lies on each of our life. Each young person, middle-aged, older person, thank you for the contributions of each to our homes, our church, our world. Thank you for your good grace upon each of us. Whether or not we live for you, your grace is amazing. It reaches out to each of us and invites us to yourself. And today, I pray that we'd be refreshed in your word, drawn back to the things that really count and really matter, the things that make us a person for our times. Bless each teacher this morning. Thank you for the time, energy, and devotion they put into teaching their classes and imparting truths. Bless this part of our service to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.